I've looked forward to this for a long time, and it's so good to be here. I've known Pastor Rick for Armstrong for many, many years.
Es bueno estar aquí. Anticipado esta ocasión por mucho tiempo. He conocido al Pastor Armstrong por mucho tiempo también.
And I've known his kids for many, many years too, of course.
Hijos también por muchos años.
And I worked with Seth this last summer doing a summer camp. He was in charge of the team program, and his sister Lydia was one of the counselors up there in Sonora.
Trabajé con Seth y Lydia este verano en un campamento.
By the way, Sonora, California is named after Sonora, Mexico.
Sonora, California, obviamente tiene su nombre de Sonora, México.
There were some men that came up from Sonora, Mexico that were gold miners and established a camp up near Sonora, and the town took on the name of that gold mining camp.
Unos mineros de oro que vinieron de Sonora, México, establecieron un campamento ahí en Sonora, California, y eso tiene el nombre.
So how many of you are pastors here today?
¿Cuántos aquí son pastores?
Okay. And so then it's right that the other men that are here are Christian leaders, deacons, teachers in the church.
Nosotros son entonces diáconos y ayudantes, maestros en la iglesia.
Yeah. No pastors over here? Well, when we come to the topic today of raising children, it's so big, it's really kind of hard to know where to start.
Este tema es tan amplio, es difícil saber dónde empezar.
I know for me, the idea of raising children for the Lord really, really started for me as a child, because I was born into a Christian family.
Nací en un hogar cristiano, realmente la idea de enseñar a hijos para ser cristianos empezó desde mi niñez.
So when I was, when my mother was expecting me, she taught Sunday school on Sunday. I was born on Monday, and guess where I was the following Sunday?
Cuando todavía mi mamá estaba embarazada conmigo, ella estaba enseñando el domingo, la escuela dominical, el lunes yo nací, y el domingo yo estaba estudiando.
Yeah, I was in the church nursery when I was 6 days old. I still remember being in the nursery, not when I was 6 days old. But I still remember being in the nursery and having the people walk by the windows and tap on the windows and wave to me and say hello.
Todavía me acuerdo ver a las personas pasando ahí por la guardería para saludarme.
But you know, even if you're raised in church, even if you're in the church nursery when you're 6 days old, it doesn't really guarantee that you're going to grow up to serve the Lord.
Solamente porque uno nace en la iglesia no significa que uno va a realmente crecer para servir al Señor.
So all of us know that the children that are born into our families that attend our church, there's a lot of different influences there that try to pull them away from the Lord.
Muchas diferentes influencias en nuestros hijos que tratan de alejarlos del Señor.
And so when we come to this topic of, you know, what to do as far as how to raise children, then it's important for us to communicate these things to the people in our church.
Cuando venimos a este tema de criar a niños, es importante comunicar estas cosas a las personas en nuestra iglesia.
Now, how many of you were saved later in life? Let's say you were in your 20s or 30s.
¿Cuántos aquí conocen al Señor después de 20 o 30 años de edad?
Okay. So almost looks like a majority of you were saved later in life. So what happens is, of course, when the moment you trust Christ as your personal Savior, you're automatically and immediately born again and made into a new creature.
Cuando uno cree en Cristo como Salvador, automáticamente uno nace de nuevo y es una nueva criatura.
And as soon as you're made into a new creature, you're also called into ministry. Maybe not full-time ministry, but ministry.
En ese momento uno es llamado al ministerio, tal vez no tiempo completo, pero es llamado al ministerio.
So what will happen is, as you read the book of Acts, what you see there are many different passages that refer to one another, loving one another, serving one another, building one another up.
En el libro de Hechos leemos muchas veces de amar a uno al otro, edificar uno al otro, etcétera.
Well, now, that understanding how to deal with one another as a Christian doesn't happen automatically. That understanding of how to really raise children or deal with one another in the church doesn't come automatically.
El entendimiento entendimiento de cómo criar hijos o cómo relacionarnos unos con otros dentro de la iglesia no es una cosa automática.
So just because a man gets saved and his life changes doesn't mean that he automatically knows how to be a good husband.
Solamente porque uno es un cristiano no significa que automáticamente es un buen esposo.
And just because a woman gets saved and the Holy Spirit's in her life and her heart changes doesn't automatically mean that she has the knowledge of how to raise her children for the Lord.
Tener un nuevo corazón y tener el Espíritu Santo dentro de uno como un cristiano no significa que automáticamente una madre es una madre cristiana que sabe criar a sus hijos en los caminos.
So here's a man that gets saved, and here's a lady that gets saved, but when they think about how to raise their children for the Lord, they don't automatically have Bible principles in their head of how to do that.
Cuando un hombre o una mujer cristiana son padres, no tienen conocimiento bíblico automáticamente de cómo criar a sus hijos.
And so let's think about, for a second, let's say you know someone, a man and a woman, they get saved later in life and they have children. What are some of the influences where they've learned how to raise their children?
¿Cuáles son algunas de las influencias que nos ayudan a aprender cómo criar a nuestros hijos?
So let's take some answers from the floor. What information are they drawing from to know how to raise their children?
¿Cuáles son algunas fuentes de información que uno usa o que uno del cual uno ha aprendido cómo crear sus hijos? Ejemplos, sus propios.
Parents, yes, right. So here's a lady who gets saved, wants to raise her children, and when she tries to answer the question, how do I do this? One of the first things she thinks about is, how did my mother raise me?
Mm-hmm.
But what if her mother was unsaved? What if her mother was ungodly?
¿Qué si su madre o padre no eran cristianos, no hicieron trabajo bueno?
What are some other influences that people start out with as far as their understanding of how to raise their families?
¿Qué son otras influencias que educan a uno en cómo criar a sus hijos si uno no nació en el Evangelio, si no tiene principios bíblicos?
Some people learn how to raise children from television, right? Sometimes it's talk shows.
Radio.
They learn how to raise their children from Oprah, right?
Televisión.
Or they learn how to raise their children from television programs where it shows families interacting together. Are those good influences? Are those things that are going to really help the Christian couples in your church really raise children for the Lord? Okay, so this is where the local church comes in. All right, so God then calls us and says, God calls us to help people who get saved. In their mind, there's one way that they're used to doing things, and maybe that's from television or books or the government or something. But now we come back and say, this is how Christ says to do it.
Dios ayuda, nos llama a nosotros a ayudar a otros a poder saber cómo la Biblia enseña a hacer estas cosas aquí, como criar hijos.
So in the local church, we get our families together on any given Sunday, and some of the training that takes place is going to be informal, like the older women teaching the younger women.
Parte de esto es informal, una mujer ya con experiencia enseñando a otra mujer sin experiencia.
But a big part of this training and trying to teach them a new way of family living is going to come from the pulpit.
Pero otra parte es el púlpito, de la predicación, de la Biblia.
Now, once you start teaching, you know, new believers how to raise the children and have family life, are they going to get it right every time?
Pero después de que uno enseña a nuevos creyentes, ¿van a hacer lo correcto siempre?
No. Did you get it right every time?
¿Ustedes lo hicieron correctamente siempre?
No. And so what happens is the local church then sets up an atmosphere where we say, let's help one another raise our family, let's love one another, and let's pick one another up and encourage one another when we don't do it the right way.
Así que la iglesia ayuda mutuamente unos a otros y también anima unos a otros cuando fallamos.
So let's look at our notes now.
¿Se ven las notas? Los apuntes.
So as I put this information together, I asked the question, what should our church be teaching our people about raising children?
¿Qué debemos enseñar a nuestra iglesia acerca de criar hijos?
But you really can't ask that question without some other questions coming to mind.
Pero tenemos otras preguntas que tenemos que preguntar primero.
So rather than just jumping into a lot of content, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's good for us to back up a little bit and say, let's ask some other foundational questions.
Vamos a hacer otras preguntas fundamentales.
So on your handout there, you're going to see a couple of different blank spots there as far as different questions that we want to answer this morning.
Aquí tenemos diferentes preguntas que queremos contestar esta mañana.
So let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15.
1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15.
Okay, would you go ahead and read that for me, please?
14 15, right?
Yes.
Esto te escribo, aunque tengo la esperanza de ir pronto a ver. Second Timothy.
First Timothy. First Timothy. Yes, foundation of the truth. So First Timothy.
Esto te escribo, aunque tengo la esperanza de ir pronto a verte, para que si tardo, sepas que cómo debes conducirte en la casa de Dios, que es la iglesia de Dios viviente, columna y baluarte de la verdad.
So notice in the end of verse 15 how it talks about the church being the pillar and foundation of the truth there.
La iglesia de Dios viviente es la columna y baluarte de la verdad.
So before we can start teaching our people about raising children, we have to say, what is our source of truth?
Antes de enseñarnos unos a otros cómo criar hijos, tenemos que saber nuestra fuente de verdad.
And in your blank there, this is an authority question.
Es una pregunta de autoridad.
Now, when we talk about our church teaching our people about raising family, the first thing we have to understand is that it's not just our church, it's Christ's church.
Primeramente, tenemos que entender que no es nuestra iglesia, es la iglesia de Cristo.
So if he's the head, and he's in charge, and it's his church, then as a pastor or as a teacher, you have to submit your opinions and put your ideas underneath Christ's ideas.
Si él es la cabeza, tenemos que sujetar nuestras opiniones debajo de sus opiniones y ideas de su verdad.
So you may have your own background of how you were raised. You may have your own strong opinions about this is how a family should be raised. But we have to remember that, first of all, before we can start talking about that, we have to say, what is our first authority, and make sure that we submit to that authority.
Antes de enseñar nuestras propias experiencias, ideas, trasfondos, tenemos que sujetar eso a la autoridad de la Biblia.
Now, it was already mentioned that a lot of times we'll get information about raising family from books. And what we have to do, though, is we have to make sure that the books that we read line up with Scripture and that they agree with Scripture and don't just force Scripture to say something Scripture doesn't say.
Tenemos que estar seguros que los libros que nosotros recomendamos o que usamos nosotros mismos realmente están de acuerdo con la Escritura y no tuercen la Escritura para decir otra cosa.
Now, here's what I've found. I know that I was raised in a Christian home. And I went off to Christian college, but when it came time to raise children, I really needed help.
Yo crecí en un hogar cristiano, yo fui a un colegio, a una universidad cristiana, pero cuando yo tenía mis hijos, yo veía que yo necesitaba ayuda.
And so as soon as we started having children, we started buying various books and reading those books and trying to become better educated on how to raise kids for Christ.
Así que empezamos a comprar libros y leer esos libros para saber mejor cómo criar nuestros hijos para el Señor.
So even though we're saying that the Bible is our only authority, it's also true that a wise pastor and a wise teacher will read other books written by people who have a high regard for Scripture.
Aunque la Biblia es nuestra autoridad final, también un pastor, una persona sabia, va a usar otros libros que usan la Escritura y lo aplican a nuestras vidas en este punto de creación.
So I know I'm not telling you anything new if you're here as a pastor, but don't think that you have all knowledge when it comes to raising a family.
No estoy diciendo nada nuevo, pero ninguno tiene todo el conocimiento de cómo criar hijos.
So God has raised up many godly people who we can glean from to figure out how to do it, and we can also take their books and recommend their books to the people in our church.
Dios ha levantado, ha capacitado a hombres piadosos para también escribir libros para que nosotros podamos usar esos para nosotros mismos y para nuestras iglesias.
So if we look at our local churches as a resource center to help believing couples raise their children for Christ, then there's going to be preaching from the pulpit, but there's also going to be an encouragement for them to buy books that will encourage them and help them in doing that.
Nuestras iglesias van a ser centros de cursos para ayudar a personas a criar sus familias. Entonces vamos a predicar la Biblia, pero también vamos a tener libros que enseñan la Biblia para poder ayudar a esas personas.
So for the pastors that are here, you should have some ideas in your mind. If someone in my church comes to me and says, what's a good book that I can read to help me, you should have in your mind some titles that you can give them.
Debemos tener en mente diferentes títulos de buenos libros para recomendar a otras personas.
Now, anytime there's a book that you read, obviously, there's not every single thing in those books that you would agree with, but still, there's a lot of helpful information there.
Aunque tal vez no podamos estar de acuerdo con todo lo que un autor dice, hay mucha información que nos va a ayudar.
Now, I thought I'd bring a list of some books that I've used over the years, and I don't know how many of these are in Spanish.
Aquí tengo una lista de libros que he usado a través de los años. No sé cuántos de esos están en español.
And so one book that you have to pick and choose from as far as the material there is from James Dobson. It's Dare to Discipline.
Uno de James Dobson es Atrévate a... Dare to Discipline. Atreve a disciplinar.
And read out these others here too.
Pastoreando el corazón de un hijo, fórmula de unidad familiar, creciendo el camino de Dios, criando a un caballero moderno y la tu familia. En el camino de Dios, God's way, ¿cómo diría eso? La manera de Dios, plan de Dios. Sí, algo así, camino de Dios.
So one that a lot of guys aren't real familiar with is the one called Raising a Modern Day Knight, and this is especially good for men who are raising boys in their family.
El que habla de caballeros es bueno para hombres que están criando a hombres.
Okay, so now this first one then is a foundational question, and it is, what's our authority? And so our authority is the Bible, right?
Nuestra autoridad es la Biblia. Eso es fundamental.
So we establish that as the first and foremost authority, but then we also, even though we say this is our authority, it is okay to use books that submit to that authority. We take those books and use them as a resource also.
Pero podemos usar libros que sujetan esa autoridad de la Biblia.
All right, so... Oh, by the way, this foundational truth, you know, that about the inspiration and authority of the Bible, this has to be a part of early discipleship for everyone that gets saved in our church. So when they do start asking questions and we start answering them from the Bible, they're more inclined to say, oh yes, I understand the Bible is from God and I want to submit to what it says.
Cuando estamos discipulando a nuevos creyentes, tenemos que estar seguro que les enseñamos que ellos tienen que reconocer a la Biblia como su autoridad final como la palabra inspirada directamente de Dios.
All right, so to review, we know that when someone gets saved, they don't automatically have a head full of knowledge about how to raise children.
Solamente porque uno es salvo no significa que tenga toda la respuesta de cómo criar hijos bíblicamente.
But in the local church, God gives us the opportunity to use the Bible as our primary authority and say, this is how you used to do it, or this is how you thought we were supposed to do it, but this is how the Bible says to do it.
Así que en la iglesia local tenemos que decir a las personas, eso es como nosotros antes lo hacíamos, o tal vez eso es como se piensa que uno debe hacerlo, pero eso es como la Biblia lo dice.
Let me back up just a little bit and just talk about my family a little bit.
Déjame compartir un poco acerca de mi familia.
I wanted to introduce my wife, Doreen, who's over here.
Me presenta mi esposa.
And we've been married 31 years.
Estamos casados 31 años.
And when we first went to Sonora, almost 26 years ago, our oldest was 2 years old.
Cuando fuimos a Sonora hace 26 años, nuestro hijo mayor.
And that was our son, Kevin. And then while we were there, we had 2 daughters, Kelly and Kara. And my son is at Bob Jones University working on a master's degree in education. And my oldest daughter lives in Sonora, and she's a music teacher. She teaches piano and other instruments.
Mi hija mayor está en Sonora enseñando música.
And my youngest daughter is an EKG tech at the hospital where she records your heartbeat and tells you if you're sick.
Y mi hija menor trabaja en el hospital haciendo eso lo que
But all three of them are still active in their local church and serving the Lord and following Christ.
Todos están sirviendo al Señor en sus iglesias locales.
So they're still doing right, but obviously we don't get all the credit.
Sí, todavía están en los caminos del Señor, pero nosotros no podemos tomar toda la gloria.
So it's all God's grace.
Todo es la gracia de Dios.
Right. But during those years where we did raise our family, I think the Lord taught us some things about the local church and raising children that hopefully other Christians will benefit from.
Pero durante esos años Dios nos enseñó cosas acerca de criar hijos y de la iglesia local que quiero compartir con ustedes y espero que sea de bendición.
Okay, let's go back to our notes here. Okay, so if we're going to say that the local church is important and they're supposed to help Christians raise their families for the Lord, well, then the first question, though, is not how to do that, but the first question is, well, what's going to be your source of truth? And you have to get that established.
Ya conocemos nuestra fuente de autoridad, que es la Biblia.
And the next thing you have to ask is, what does the Bible really say?
Entonces, ¿qué dice la Biblia?
So this is a content question.
Eso es el contenido.
And that's what you want to fill in your blank there.
Eso es lo que queremos poner ahí.
So if we're going to say that the Bible is our source of truth for raising families, then we have to figure out what does the Bible really say when it comes to instructions for doing that.
Vamos a ver lo que la Biblia dice de esto.
We have to ask the question, as we open up the Bible, what's really there?
¿Qué está ahí?
We have to ask the question, does everything in the Bible about children still apply today?
También tenemos que preguntarnos si todo lo que la Biblia enseña acerca de hijos podría aplicar hoy.
So what might be one thing in the Bible regarding children that you can find in the Bible, but you probably would not be able to apply it today? Anything?
¿Puedes pensar en algo que la Biblia enseña acerca de hijos que tal vez no pueden aplicar hoy en día? Disciplina. Física. Physical discipline.
No, physical discipline is, well, still good.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about a specific kind of physical discipline.
Pero estoy pensando en kill kids who are...
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
So if we say, okay, what's in the Bible? And so you start going through the Bible and you read in the Old Testament that if children disobey their parents, you take them out and stone them.
Así que no vamos a apedrear a nuestros hijos cuando son rebeldes, aunque tal vez quieran hacerlo.
So it's up to the pastor and the teacher to know how to interpret Scripture and know what applied only to Israel thousands of years ago and what still applies to believers today.
Tenemos que saber lo que aplicó a Israel hace miles de años, y lo que aplicó hoy.
Let's go ahead and look in Romans 15.
Romanos 15.
Now, even though there may be things in the Old Testament, like those laws that you can't apply anymore as far as discipline, there are Bible stories that give you truths that you can apply today.
Porque todas las leyes no son aplicables hoy en día. Hay historias en el Antiguo Testamento que nos enseñan principios que debemos aplicar.
You're probably familiar with this passage here in Romans 15, verses 4 and 5.
Romanos 15, 4 y 5. Porque las cosas que se escribieron antes para nuestra enseñanza se escribieron a fin de que por la paciencia y la consolación de las Escrituras tengamos esperanza. Pero el Dios de la paciencia y de la consolación de entre vosotros un mismo sentir según Cristo Jesús.
So those things that were written in the Old Testament are written to teach us and encourage us.
Las cosas del Antiguo Testamento son escritas para enseñarnos y para animarnos.
So as you study for various sermons and as you do personal Bible study, keep your heart and mind open to situations about parents and children that will be instructive for you.
Mientras que estamos estudiando la Biblia, tenemos que tener en mente o estar buscando cosas que nos pueden ayudar a enseñar a otros acerca de la crianza de hijos.
So even as you're preaching through the Old Testament passages, you can look for examples of things where in the middle of preaching an Old Testament story, you can stop and address the parents that are there and say, this happened in this story, and this is instructive for us today.
Sí, cuando estamos enseñando el Antiguo Testamento, podemos buscar en diferentes historias cosas que podemos enseñar a otros que pueden estar en sus familias.
Let's go to our number 3 on our sheet there, please.
Número 3.
Colossians 1:19.
Colosenses 1:19.
Colossians 1:9, rather.
Colosenses 1:9. Por lo cual también nosotros, desde el día que lo oímos, no cesamos de orar por vosotros y de pedir que seáis llenos del conocimiento de su voluntad en toda sabiduría e inteligencia espiritual.
Now in this passage, Paul is of course talking about what his spiritual goals are for these spiritual children that he has.
Este pasaje explica las metas espirituales que Pablo tiene para sus hijos espirituales.
So this passage, I think, is also instructive for us when we try to answer the question, what are the goals that we have for children that we raise in our Christian family? But as our notes say, you know, what is the goal of child training? Actually, this is a purpose question.
Esto es una pregunta de propósito.
In other words, what is it that we hope to accomplish by investing our time and treasure into our children?
¿Qué es lo que queremos hacer con nuestras inversiones de tiempo en nuestros hijos?
If we're wanting our children to do right and obey just so that we won't be embarrassed at church, that's the wrong reason.
Si queremos que nuestros hijos nos obedecen solamente para no estar avergonzados en la iglesia, eso es, no es una buena razón.
And so parents have a lot of different goals for their children. For some parents, the goal is, I want my child to get the best education possible.
Algunos tienen como meta que sus hijos tengan la mejor educación posible.
Other parents might say, well, my goal for my child is, I want them to be able to get a really good job when they grow up. I want them to be able to make a good living.
Otros dirán que yo quiero que mis hijos pueden tener un buen sueldo, un buen trabajo cuando crezcan.
Or others might just say, I want them to be a good citizen.
Quiero que sean buenos ciudadanos.
But what do you think? I mean, if Christ comes to us and says, raise your children for the Lord, what should be some of the primary, most important goals, our purpose for raising children for the Lord? What's that end result that we're looking for?
¿Cuál es la meta final que debemos tener por criar nuestros hijos para el Señor?
Can they be spiritual children?
Okay. Mm-hmm. ¿Cuál es la meta final de la vida?
Okay,
que ellos sirvan a Dios.
Glorify God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That they would serve.
Right. So the goal here is not just good behavior, right?
La meta no solamente es que se comporta bien.
I know some Mormon families and those kids act really well.
Yo conozco unas familias mormones donde sus hijos realmente se comportan bien.
And so it's not just behavior, it's a heart for God.
No solamente comportamiento, pero el corazón hacia Dios.
So Christ-like character.
Carácter cristiano.
Spiritual wisdom.
Sabiduría espiritual.
And so these are the goals of our child training.
Estas son las metas de nuestro.
So when we stand up to preach or to teach, we have to make sure that we don't just train our parents that get your child to behave and you're doing a good job.
Así que cuando enseñamos acerca de criar hijos, tenemos que estar seguro que la gente entiende que no solamente tienen que criar hijos que son con comportamientos, que es comportamiento.
So as we say, all right, raise your children for the Lord, then we have to tell them what this means to raise your children for the Lord and how it's a focus on the heart.
Tenemos que explicar el enfoque del corazón de mí.
But then, of course, if the heart gets right and there is a good focus on the heart and the heart begins to change, then behavior will be a result of that.
Porque si el corazón empieza a cambiar, entonces también el comportamiento cambia.
Okay, let's look at a couple of Bible examples, Bible stories that talk about parent-child relationships.
Vamos a ver unos ejemplos bíblicos.
So we're in the first passage we're going to turn to is Genesis 37.
Genesis 37.
So this first session is mostly just some introduction and some big questions. The next session we'll talk about some specific child training things.
Esto es más preguntas generales que vamos a hablar en esta sesión y después vamos a entrar más detalle en la próxima.
But for the next few minutes we'd like to end this session by just looking at some Bible stories. And then you, as the pastor or as the teacher, as you read through this story, figure out what should I take from this story and teach to my people about raising families.
Para el resto de esta sesión vamos a ver estas historias bíblicas y preguntarnos qué podemos nosotros aprender de esto, qué podemos ayudar a nuestras familias.
Okay, let's read verses 2 through 4.
Génesis 37. Si alguien quiere leer los versículos 2 a 4.
Dice, esta es la historia de la familia de Jacob. José, siendo de edad de 17 años, apacentaba las ovejas con sus hermanos, y el joven estaba con los hijos de Bilha y con los hijos de Zilpa, mujeres de su padre, e informaba a José, a su padre, la mala fama de él. Llamaba Israel a José más que a todos sus hijos, porque lo había tenido en su vejez y le hizo una túnica de diversos colores.
So you're doing a Bible study, you're doing a sermon, you're preaching on the life of Joseph, and you come to this passage, and you're going to stop as you're teaching this and make applications to Christian families.
Así que estamos enseñando este pasaje y vamos a hacer una aplicación acerca de la familia cristiana.
What application would you make?
¿Qué podemos aplicar a la familia de este pasaje?
Loving your children. Okay.
Obedience, submission from the son.
Okay.
No hacer diferencias.
No preference.
Right. I think that's a major one over there, is not showing favoritism between children.
Eso es muy importante, no mostrar preferencia, no tener preferencias con los hijos.
How many of you think that your parents may have loved your brother or sister more than you?
So this
happens in families today. It really does. And so as you talk to these Christian parents, this is a good example of being able to say, okay, this happened in this Old Testament story. Make sure that you have equal love to your children and that they know it.
Buen ejemplo para aprender, para enseñar que tenemos que amar a todos nuestros hijos igualmente.
This passage also teaches that you'll get yourself in big trouble if you have multiple wives.
También nos enseña que si tenemos varias mujeres vamos a estar en muchos problemas.
All right, let's go to the next one. 1 Samuel 1:24.
1 Samuel 1:24. 1 Samuel capítulo 1, empezando en versículo 24. Si alguien quiere leer capítulo 1, 1 Samuel, versículos 24 a 28.
Probably familiar with the story of Hannah, who is the mother of Samuel. She could not have children. She prayed to the Lord that God would give her a child, and God gave her Samuel, right?
La historia de Ana y Samuel.
So let's read this. Let's read these passages here, verse 24 through 28, as well as chapter 2. And let's try to think in our mind, okay, if I'm going to be teaching about the life of Samuel, what lessons should I present to my church family?
Estamos pensando lecciones que podamos aprender de esto para enseñar. 1 Samuel 1, 24 a 28.
Después que lo hubo disfrutado, lo llevó consigo con tres becerros, una efa de harina y una vasija de vino.
lo trajo a la casa de Jehová, Silo, y el niño era pequeño, y matando el becerro, trajeron el niño a Elí, y él dijo, oh Señor mío, y de tu alma, Señor mío, yo soy aquella mujer que estuve aquí junto a ti, orando a Jehová, pues el niño oraba, y Jehová me dio lo que le pedí. Yo pues lo dedico también a Jehová, todos los días que viva será de Jehová, y adoro ahí a Jehová.
Okay. Y después capítulo 2, versículo 11, y Elcana se volvió a la casa de Rama, y el niño ministraba a Jehová delante del sacerdote Elí, y versículo 18, y el joven Samuel ministraba en la presencia de Jehová, vestido de un efod de lino.
Okay, so what lessons will we pull from this passage and present to our people?
¿Qué aprendemos de esos pasajes que podemos enseñar a otros?
Right, so Hannah prayed for her children. Okay.
Presented them to God. Our children are ours, they're
God's.
Teach them to serve the Lord.
Yes, yes, teach them to serve the Lord. Right. Even at a young age. Right. And so part of the application of this verse is that from the very beginning, Hannah knew in her heart who the child belonged to and what her goals were for that child.
Desde el principio Ana entendió a quién pertenecía este niño y la meta que ella tenía para su hijo.
We have two brand new babies in our church at Grace Baptist Church.
Tenemos dos nuevos bebés ahí en nuestra iglesia en Sonora.
And the attitude of both sets of parents has to be, as I look at this child, it's not my goal just for them to be successful, but it's my goal for them to follow Christ with their whole heart and serve Him.
Y eso es la meta de esos padres, tiene que ser no solamente que el niño tenga éxito en esta vida, pero también que sirva al Señor.
Let's go to another passage in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1.
Lucas, capítulo 1.
So let's say you're preaching through the book of Luke, and you come to chapter 1, and you're preaching through Luke chapter 1. There's some things that should pop out to you about John the Baptist, and you can take this information and present it to your people about raising children.
Que estás enseñando acerca de Lucas y Juan el Bautista, y quieres aplicar esto a la crianza de hijos.
Let's read our passage here.
Lucas 1. Versículo 15 dice, porque será grande delante de Jehová, no beberá vino ni sidra, pero y será lleno del Espíritu Santo, aún desde el vientre de su madre. Y versículos 39 al 44, y en aquellos días levantándose María, fue deprisa a la montaña, a una ciudad de Judá, y entró en casa de Zacarías, y saludó a Elizabeth. Y aconteció que cuando oyó a Elizabeth la salutación de María, la criatura saltó en su vientre. Elizabeth fue llena del Espíritu Santo y clamó a gran voz y dijo, bendita tú entre las mujeres y bendito el fruto de tu vientre, porque se me concede esto a mí, porque se me concede esto a mí, que la madre de mi Señor venga a mí, porque tan pronto como llegó la voz de tu salutación a mis oídos, la criatura saltó de alegría en mi vientre.
You'll notice that the ladies left.
La mujer salió.
They were feeling convicted.
Estaban bajo convicción.
Okay, let's look at this passage. What are some things from this passage where we can say, okay, what does God want me to tell my people at my church?
¿Qué es lo que Dios quiere que enseñamos a otros acerca de ese pasaje?
Worship. Okay.
Saber que nazcan a dedicarlos al Señor.
Dedicate your children to the Lord after their work.
Okay.
Hablarles en el vientre de la palabra de Dios.
Speak to them in the womb of God's word. Speak
perspective of God's word, even when they're little.
Oh, sure.
Consecration.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Realize who God is.
You know, as the angel talks to Zechariah here in this particular story, he gives some specific instructions about what John the Baptist is to do and not to do.
En esta historia, el ángel da a Zacarías ciertas instrucciones lo que él debe hacer y no debe hacer.
And so just like Zechariah was supposed to listen to the Lord's instruction and then raise his child according to the Lord's instructions, then we should tell our people, we need to be like Zechariah in that way, where we listen to the Lord and say, yes, I will raise my child a certain way.
Nosotros también debemos escuchar la palabra de Dios acerca de lo que Él dice en cuanto a la crianza de hijos.
What lessons do you think that we can tell our church family when it talks about John the Baptist having the Holy Spirit even before he's born? Are there any applications there that we should tell our people?
¿Qué es lo que dice aquí acerca de Juan Bautista teniendo el Espíritu Santo aún antes de nacer? ¿Hay alguna instrucción de eso para nosotros?
So here's a child, it's not born, still inside of its mother, but has the Holy Spirit. What does that teach us? What's a good theology there that we should tell our people?
¿Qué podemos enseñar a nuestros hijos acerca de este niño que tenía el Espíritu Santo aún antes de nacer? He was separated already before the ministry.
Okay, so he was called early, that's true. But there's something else that I'm fishing for, something else that I'm looking for.
Otra cosa que estoy buscando aquí.
Prepararlos a nuestros hijos para hablarles a otros de Cristo.
Prepare our children to speak to others in Christ.
Yes, but there's something else. Right. Well, here's something to think about.
Yes, it is.
Even before John the Baptist was born, when he's still a little tiny infant, he still has a spirit, an eternal soul, because only someone with a soul has the Holy Spirit fill him.
Que este niño aún dentro de su madre, en el vientre de su madre, todavía tiene un alma.
So two applications. One application is, before a baby's born, it really is a person and should not be killed in its mother's womb.
Yeah. Contra el aborto.
Another application of this is that as we pick up our children, even when they're first born, we're looking at a child that has an eternal soul.
Cuando estamos viendo a nuestros hijos recién nacidos, esos hijos realmente tienen un alma eterna.
So the idea of the Holy Spirit filling this child, even as a little tiny infant, should emphasize to parents that the child has a spiritual nature to it, and that it's very, very important for them to nurture that spiritual part of that child.
Tenemos que enfatizar a los hijos que sus a los hijos, a los padres que sus hijos tienen almas y tenemos que cuidar de esos almas.
Okay, that ends session number one. Any questions on any of this material?
Eso concluye la primera sesión. ¿Alguna pregunta acerca de
esto? Can we just keep going?
Vamos a tomar un descanso de como 5 o 10 minutos, no mucho, 5 o 7 minutos. Ya necesito estar al baño, si quiere ponerse de pie, buscar un poco de agua, lo que quiera, ¿ok? Se puede tomar el libro más.